Hey everyone, I'm your host Tom Shaughnessy and welcome back to Chain Reaction, a research-driven podcast that's a part of Delphi Digital. If you're not on Delphi's research portal, you're missing out on the critical analysis read by the top minds in the crypto space, so be sure to check it out. One quick housekeeping item, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. I may personally hold tokens mentioned on the podcast, and you can view our show notes below for our complete disclosures. With that, let's jump into the episode. Before we jump in, we want to thank the Cosmos community for their sponsorship in making this episode possible. There are several projects building inter-blockchain communication protocols, but there's one that's currently built. Cosmos.network is on a mission to link every blockchain. Well-known projects like Terra, Band, Kava, and Secret use Cosmos and the Cosmos Hub to connect to every other chain in their network. The Cosmos Hub is completed and launched, and you can visit Cosmos.network today to check it out. The Cosmos Hub brings us that much closer to Web 3.0, and we thank the Cosmos community for sponsoring the Delphi podcast. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Tom Shaughnessy. I help run Delphi Ventures, and I host the Delphi podcast. Today, I'm amped to have on Kevin from Gitcoin. Kevin, how's it going?
Hey, hey, hey.
Kevin, you describe yourself as the founder of Gitcoin, but also an EVM whisperer. What does the last part mean?
Yeah, so the EVM is the virtual machine that executes smart contracts on the Ethereum network. And so an EVM whisperer is someone who knows how to program that, I think. I don't know. I was just being cute on Twitter that we don't have to roll. Let's just call me the founder of Gitcoin, I guess.
You're going to be stuck with that forever now.
Yeah.
Kevin, you guys had a big launch this week. Full disclosure, we helped advise a bit on TokenEcon related things through Delphi, but I want to hear it from you. What exactly is Gitcoin for those that for some reason live under a rock and haven't seen you guys?
Totally. Yeah, so Gitcoin is a place that you can get coins if you're a software developer. We've delivered about $19 million worth of funding to open source software developers in the space, primarily through Gitcoin Grants, which is the largest crowdfunding platform in the Ethereum ecosystem, to our knowledge. But we also run virtual hackathons, and we have an accelerator called Kernel, which is basically an 8-week program that will take you from someone who has a project idea and then put you in the room with some of the top 200 people in the Ethereum space. And then out comes a company or a protocol or, you know, a better version of yourself is the idea. So our job is to economically empower software developers. And what we launched this past week is Gitcoin DAO. So basically, we are now structured as a company, and we felt like there was a limit to how far we could go with our mission if we were a company that was domiciled in a specific legal jurisdiction. And so the idea is to start building a vessel that can be worldwide and can be governed by the community that is based on that is basically a DAO. And it's a fork of Uniswap's governance mechanism that we launched this past week. But the biggest thing that we did when we did the DAO launch is we sent the users to a token distribution experience, and we had them delegate their governance. So we launched a governance token this past week. And what we did is we made everyone delegate their governance to a member of the Ethereum community they trust. It could be themselves, or it could be Austin Griffith or Linda Z or Trent from the Ethereum Foundation. And the whole idea here is that if we're going to use liquid democracy, and as your audience may know, Uniswap and Compound are liquid democracy and have this delegation mechanism built into them, but we felt like we need to have 100% coverage of people delegating as soon as they got their tokens, which would just enable governance to get off on the right foot at the start. So our big launch was GTC and Gitcoin DAO, to answer your question. And Gitcoin is a place that you can get coins if you're a software developer.
Kevin, the experience to claim your tokens and delegate was incredible. I mean, the UI and the UX was just out of control good. How long did that take to create?
We've been working on it for about 6 months. I mean, I think that I'm sitting on a mountain of software developers and designers because we're Gitcoin. And if we didn't have a dope token claim experience, then it wouldn't be us. So I'm glad that you saw it. And if any of your audience wants to follow along, you can go to quadraticlands.com. and get to the token distribution site. the Quadratic Lands is this sort of mythical land where open source is well-funded and there's more digital democracy. And so our token distribution center is called quadraticlands.com.
I love that. Yeah, no, the whole process was awesome. The proof of knowledge, the proof of use, claiming. And side note, I love that you're able to claim to a different address than the one you used to, I guess, accrue the rewards, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So far, we've seen about 7,000 people have claimed thus far of 25,000 in the airdrop. So I'm excited to hopefully get closer to that 25,000 number. Sorry, go
That's
ahead.
Awesome. No, it's exciting. And I mean, just zooming out, like, what would you say is Gitcoin's mission? Like, how does it drive everything you do? How is it at the core of what you do every day? What would you say that is?
Totally. Our mission is to build and fund the open web, to make sure that open source software developers are well paid. Open source creates $500 billion per year in economic value. And for someone like me starting a startup, when I start a startup, I don't write my own database server. I don't write my own web server. I don't write my own encryption and SSL. I just use open source software. And we all sort of take that for granted. And because of that, open source maintainers are working at like Chase Bank while they have to nights and weekends moonlight on building our digital infrastructure. And we just feel that's a fundamental, unjust way of setting up our digital infrastructure. And so we just want to make sure that open source software developers are paid. And we want to accelerate the builders and funders of the open web, both in traditional open source and in this new punctuated equilibrium that we call the crypto space, making sure that open source software developers are paid. And I feel like if people can quit their corporate jobs and work on open source, or if people can shy away from doing an ICO and just work on protocols and just work on our digital infrastructure, then that's a win for us. We're trying to create that incentive mechanism for the world.
Kevin, how does Gitcoin work from the bounties perspective and the grants perspective? Like, how do you go about funding public goods on Gitcoin exactly?
Totally. Yeah. So the mission is and always will be and always has been grow and sustain open source, build and fund the open web. And we first launched in 2017 as a product where you could basically come to Gitcoin and you could say, I have X tokens and I would like Y done. And the exchange there is that we find a software developer in our list of 150,000 software developers that is a fit for your project, and they will get those tokens if they do that scope. We soon realized that was a very transactional way of funding open source software. And we went to build something that was a little bit more kumbaya within the ethos of open source. And also we recognized that a lot of people already had projects that they were working on and they wanted to get paid. So we launched Gitcoin Grants, which is basically you come to Gitcoin and you say, I am doing X and I would like Y tokens in return for building this. And so it's just basically a crowdfunding platform that is the now the largest crowdfunding platform in the crypto space, to my knowledge. And it's just a way of donating to your favorite projects that has really taken off because of the support of Vitalik Buterin. And we use this mechanism called quadratic funding to really make it worth people's while to contribute to open source on Gitcoin Grants. And then the third mechanism that we have is Kernel, which is basically like the mechanism there is, what would you do if you were in a room with the top 250 people, 250 builders in the Ethereum space for 8 weeks. So we basically take the upper echelon of people that we've met through the network of Gitcoin, whether it's through hackathons or through grants or just going to Ethereum meetups, and we put them through an 8-week program where we train them about the values of the Ethereum space and how to build a startup, how to build a protocol. And at the end of that, we have a graduation day where they can pitch all these investors. So those are basically three different mechanisms that we've found to connect capital and labor in order to accelerate the open web. But I'm sure there's more ways to build and fund open source. And now that we're a DAO, anyone can permissionly launch an experiment that is meant to build and fund the open web. It doesn't just have to be the three that the centralized company conceived of.
That's awesome, Kevin. Yeah, no, it makes sense to go from bounties to grants. Definitely seems more sustainable long term. I guess one of my questions is like, it's just a different way of thinking, right? Like, I mean, like as a VC, I come from the perspective of like, you know, if you're going to create a product, I want to see a long term path to sustainability and profits so you could fund this and grow this. Gitcoin takes like a totally different approach here, right? Like, how do you, I guess, convince people or tap into that altruism to fund things that, you know, might not have a business model? Like, you know, we might have an Ethereum weekly recap or something like that, or a core piece of infrastructure that, frankly, we can't monetize, but we all like, but it's very hard to get people to fund that.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I could make a lot of arguments to you about like, well, this is our digital infrastructure. And if it's not on If it's not on a sound foundation, then we're going to have a black swan event where something gets hacked, something gets rugged, and your for-profit venture will lose a lot of money because of that. And, you know, I can make that argument till the cows come home. People won't listen until it happens to them. And, you know, the whole point of this is to prevent like people getting rugged and the infrastructure being brittle. And so we're kind of looking for incentives that are a little bit upstream from that to get people to contribute to open source. And one of the mechanisms that we just kind of inherited from Vitalik and Glenn Weil was this mechanism of quadratic funding, which basically is a way of funding projects in an ecosystem based off of which projects have the broadest base of support, not just the projects that have the support of the rich people. So it's a matching campaign that runs contemporaneously, which is just a famous, or sorry, just a fancy way of saying at the same time as a crowdfunding campaign. And we fund, we have matching contributions that we give out to the crowd during the crowdfunding campaign. And so the way that quadratic funding works is that in traditional one-to-one matching, if project A and project B both get $10, then they'll both get $10 in matching. But with quadratic funding, if project A has 10 supporters who each give $1, and project B has 10 support or one supporter who gives $10, then project A will get way more of the matching funds because it's supported by a broader swath of the Ethereum community. So it's just basically a way of funding public goods, of funding open source software based off of whether or not your peers respect them, as opposed to some central grant administrator, say at the Ethereum Foundation or at any other. I mean, I think the Ethereum Foundation grants program is awesome, but I do believe that there's room for a product that funds things based off of what your peers think of your project, not just what some power broker thinks. And so that's the cool thing about quadratic funding. And Tom, I wouldn't look at it as sort of a replacement for VC funding, at least not at the scale that we're at yet, but it's kind of a feeder where you can say, oh, this project had 100 people donate to it on Gitcoin. They must have some, there must be some heat there because all of their peers respect what they're doing. And that's like alpha for the investor community is how I would look at it if I was you.
So just to clarify, Kevin, who exactly does the matching? And sorry if I missed that, but I want to make sure that gets across. Like the quadratic funding makes a lot of sense, but who funds that side of it?
Totally. It's basically anyone who wants to build an ecosystem. So if you're the Ethereum Foundation and you're trying to make sure that your infrastructure is funded and that there's a budding entrepreneurial ecosystem built on top of the Ethereum Foundation, you can do you can contribute money to the Gitcoin grants matching pool, and we will run these crowdfunding campaigns every quarter for your ecosystem. So it's basically allowing the community to self-organize, and whoever's interested in building that ecosystem provides the capital. The Ethereum Foundation, so we've done 9 rounds of Gitcoin grants. The Ethereum Foundation provided all of the funding for grants rounds 1 through 6. In round 7, we've raised about $1 million per quarter from the DeFi community, just projects that are looking to give back and to support the Ethereum ecosystem. And it's sort of a marketing expense for them slash also a goodwill expense. But for the last several rounds, I'm very proud to say that we've graduated from being funded by the EF to just being funded by what we call the Funders League. Amazing projects like Optimism and Chainlink and Kraken are all funding the public goods in the Ethereum space. And I think it's really great to see people giving back and making sure that the next cohort of builders are funded.
And Kevin, I guess the other thing that runs into play is like, I guess you're not really running into a problem with people making fake accounts and kind of skewing those results, right? Because people have to donate. So there is kind of a quote cost associated with that. I guess if we're thinking about it from like a Sybil perspective, or am I thinking about that the wrong way?
Totally. So yeah, basically because quadratic funding optimizes the preferences of the poor and the many over the rich and the few, basically that grant that got $10 from 10 people is going to get more of the matching funds than the grant that got $10 from one person. There is a crypto economic incentive to make up identities. And this is what's called Sybil resistance. Like if I have that $10 and I'm just going to give it to one project, why don't I make up 10 identities in order to do that? And the answer to that is, and we're going to channel Vitalik Buter in here, who is just next level smart. You got to make a system that's cheaper to defend than it is to attack. This is a core principle of proof of stake, and it's actually a core principle of quadratic funding as well. So you just have to make it as expensive as possible to manufacture new identities. And we're integrated with the latest and greatest Sybil resistance mechanisms in the space, BrightID, IDENA, Proof of Humanity, We're also using POAPs and ENS names as civil resistance. And so basically the idea is to just make new identities hard to manufacture, but easy to verify if you're already an active organic member of the space. Like I don't know if you're familiar with DGEN score, but that's a great example of civil resistance. Someone who's built up reputation over time.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible way to do it. And I guess the other question is like, how do you get the feedback, right? Like quadratic funding is incredible, right? Because you're basically giving more funding to something that more people want. But how do you get the feedback loop on that? Like, how do you know that that's the right way to do it? Like theoretically, like it makes sense. Like you're funding something that more people want versus say a rich person, but how do you like see that in the wild? Is it just like, you know, more people loving the product? Yeah, it might be the wrong question. I'm just trying to figure that out.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm super proud to say that Gitcoin Grants has been running through the last bear market. And we have alumni that are as esteemed as Uniswap and One Inch Exchange and Urine Finance that were partially funded by Gitcoin Grants during the last bear market. And so, you know, I can't say that every project that's gone through Gitcoin Grants has been a success, but there's at least some that are really strong success. And so the way that we've designed it to have a feedback loop is that we run a grants round every quarter. And the basic mechanism is that the market decides every quarter which projects are going to be funded. Gitcoin, it just runs a credibly neutral platform that's designed to allow the market to express itself. And so we have no say over which grants get funded. And basically the idea is that there's a feedback loop insofar as the Ethereum community now expects that Gitcoin Grants is going to be around. And every quarter there's going to be grants round. And if you don't ship something over the next quarter, well, then the rational economic behavior for the market is to not fund you anymore. So there's just sort of a quarterly feedback loop where the market gets to decide who's worth funding. And that can evolve over time as projects either grow too big to even need quadratic funding, or if they raise money outside of Gitcoin Grants, or if they are now defunct. I mean, I think failure is a part of entrepreneurship, and so we shouldn't be ashamed of the projects that have gone through the system and are now defunct. So that's basically the feedback mechanism that we have. Is that what you were asking, Tom?
Yeah, no, totally. And I'm glad we could hop around because you know your stuff, Kevin, and it's great that we could go quick. But totally. The other side of this, like what is the difference in, I guess, I know like Gitcoin is funding a lot of software and stuff that we don't see, right? Like a lot of stuff behind the scenes that power a lot of apps, stuff like that. But for the apps themselves or things people could see and touch, like what's the difference in the experience in those applications? Because I mean, they don't have to like rush to productize and monetize because they're basically, they can get funded through Gitcoin.
Totally. Yeah, so there's basically a spectrum here of infrastructure to dApp layer. And I don't know if you've read any of Fred Wilson's stuff. I think there's a famous post about the myth of the infrastructure phase, where basically we go through these cycles where infrastructure is being built, and then there's like NFT crazes that are actually consumer-facing brands that are taking off. And so I think the market ebbs and flows between building infrastructure and building consumer-facing apps, and you can't have one without the other, right? They're the chicken and the egg. And so Gitcoin Grants is really great for infrastructure stuff that's just plumbing that has no business model. And we do run an infrastructure grants round and have for the last 5 or 6 rounds. But then there's a whole other category of things which are just like, what's going to be the next hot NFT platform is a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. And Gitcoin Grants is sort of like a market layer for figuring out which projects in both categories have heat and people are excited about. And I think the key is that people who know infrastructure are the ones that are funding infrastructure grants, and people who know dApp layer stuff are the ones that are funding that. And you kind of use the wisdom of the crowds to take the best projects and accelerate them to their next funding tranche to make sure that they stay afloat and things of that nature.
Now that's awesome. And Kevin, just to give like a little color on this, like what's your favorite grants that have been funded historically by Gitcoin? Like what's something that maybe came to the platform, got funded, and now it's like a core piece of infrastructure or a core app or use case that people kind of use every day?
Totally. Well, I think I maybe humble bragged a little bit that One Inch Exchange and Uniswap and Urine are all Gitcoin alumni. And those are
all good alumni.
Yeah. Yeah, those are super legitimate projects. And I just think, wow, Uniswap is just core infrastructure for DeFi. But, you know, the things that I'm most excited about, and it's because I have a computer science degree and not much of a background in finance, although I'm trying to learn very quickly as this space evolves, is the client teams. So basically, if you're building an ETH2 client, if you're building an ETH1 client, there's really no business model for that, but it's the infrastructure, it's the plumbing upon which everything relies. And so there's sort of a spectrum of things that'll have a business model one day to things that'll just never, ever, ever probably have a business model, and making sure that that core infrastructure is well-funded, or at least as well-funded as we can, is super near and dear to my heart. So Prismatic Labs, Lighthouse, Nimbus all have Gitcoin grants. And unless you're following the ETH2 client scene, you don't know who those are, but you're certainly going to rely on them when ETH2 goes live. And so those are my favorite teams that have gone through Gitcoin grants.
When do they leave Gitcoin grants? Like Urine, Uniswap, like those are all massive projects that don't necessarily need funding anymore, yeah, right? They have like their own feedback loops. What's the, yeah, like, when do they leave? What's the
decision? Yeah, that's a great question. And if you had asked me on this podcast a quarter ago when they leave, I probably would have fumbled through some answer in which I was thoughtfully weighing trade-offs about, well, how should we fund public goods in the Ethereum space? But now that we've launched governance, I can say, I don't know, it's up to governance. And I'm just so happy that we're governed by the community that we serve. And I'm also happy that it's not my decision to say it anymore. So I don't know, governance will figure that out. I've heard some murmurs of basically having a criteria where if a project has raised at least X dollars in VC funded, they should no longer be eligible for Gitcoin grants or for a portion of the matching round. I don't know if the community is going to ratify that by Gitcoin grants round 10, which is in about 2 weeks, but I've heard some murmurs of that. And I've also heard some murmurs of, well, you have to be built on the Ethereum chain and not a fork chain of the EVM chain in order to be funded by Gitcoin grants. And the community may ratify it, they may not. It's out of my hands. And I'm just here to support the conversation. I'm trying to take a page out of Vitalik's book and stay out of the politics as much as possible and just really focus on making sure the technology is built. And that's where my focus is right now.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. And before we go to the DAO and the governance side of things, let's just close out the conversation on Gitcoin to date. What's the stat on how much funding Gitcoin has driven to date?
Yeah, we've done about $19.4 million worth of funding for open source software developers. That is over the last 3 years, although 80% of it has happened in the last year because we've been accelerating quite a bit, which I'm very excited about. And, you know, I think that, you know, 2 points that I'd make about the volume that we have is that there's $500 billion per year in economic value created by open source software. And we've only done $20 million over the course of 3 years. So there's like three orders of magnitude of growth ahead of us, I think, if we're going to truly achieve our mission of funding open source.
Makes a lot of sense. It's kind of crazy to think about like the value that Gitcoin has driven, right? Like I don't know what would you look at? Like, I mean, the examples you gave are incredible, but like, is it in the, like, are the projects that Gitcoin has helped fund worth hundreds of millions of dollars? Or like, what metric would you point to if you had to?
Totally. I think there's value created and then there's value captured for a lot of these projects. And, you know, for me, it's about like, we want to be the pilot light of the bear market. We want projects to be able to be funded by Gitcoin grants, even if funding elsewhere dries up, and survive the bear market, because that's how you survive the bear, and that's how you make it into the bull market. And I think the top line value of all the projects that have been accelerated by Gitcoin is like the widest funnel that we could create. And I don't know what that number is, but I'm super proud of the projects we've been associated with, and I just believe in this space so much and its ability to create a better world for so many people. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
I love that. And let's switch over to the GTC launch. You guys launched the governance token this week. We kind of discussed the how people claim it, which I thought was awesome. I guess we could go into the dynamics of how it was computed, or we could go into, I'd rather go into like the use case of GTC token kind of long term. But let's take this either way you want to go with it.
Yeah, totally. So basically the idea here is that you delegated your governance to someone when you got your distribution. And so hopefully we're going to have an active group of between 20 and 50, what we call stewards, who have the consent of the governed, that are able to, I don't know, do whatever protocol politicians do. This is all the bleeding edge and we're still sort of discovering it. But the two things that are on my immediate horizon from a governance perspective is, okay, Gitcoin grants round 10 is coming up. We know that we're going to move $2 million at least per Gitcoin grants round. What should the criteria for the round sizes and who's accepted into the round be? And so I think that from a governance perspective, that is something that will be decided. The other thing is that your listeners may or may not be familiar with this, but Vitalik Buterin just went through one of his wallets in which he was donated a bunch of doggy coins, Akita and Shiba, and took those tokens and funded the India COVID relief fund that the Polygon team is running. And they also funded Gitcoin grants. So now we have $500 million worth of doggy tokens that we need to figure out what to do with. And that's an active governance thing that the community is trying to decide. So, but anyway, the answer is governance to start, Tom.
Makes sense. And let's just go back for a second, because I think it's worth noting kind of how you figured out, you know, with your team how to do this airdrop. It's an incredible kind of way to, I just think it's incredible how you guys figured this out. I know Ashwath on our side helped a bit too, but you know, so shout out to him as well for helping. But how did you guys figure out the airdrop itself? Because I mean, the breakdown on the blog is incredible, right? Like you're giving allocations to those who actually use the platform, but you're breaking that down by kind of how active they actually were. It seems like it honestly seems like the most dynamic airdrop I've ever seen in crypto.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, so the thing that I'll say about Gitcoin is that we have almost 4 years of operating history. And in 2017, when everyone and their brother was launching an ICO, we just decided, let's just ship a product that people love and focus on our community and finding product market fit. Why launch a governance token when there's nothing to govern? This is in 2017. And so now we're moving like $6 million per quarter, and there's all these governance problems like coming out of our ears. So, you know, we had scope, we had surface area for a governance token. And then the question becomes from there, okay, who do we want to govern the platform? I'm a big believer that the consent of the governed is the only legitimate basis for a government, as opposed to like the divine right of kings or something like that. And so the idea was just to have the community that Gitcoin serves be the community that is governing Gitcoin. And in order to do that, we sort of worked with Delphi Digital in order to come up with a distribution using the, I think we have about $19 million worth of history, 150,000 users, and we have somewhere on the order of 100,000 transactions that have been facilitated by the platform. So there's a lot of raw material from a data perspective that we sifted through with your consultation. And I'm really happy to say that you know, a lot of the token distribution was decided by my co-founders and by Delphi Digital and in consultation and the conversations that we had there. And so I'm super proud of the distribution of the airdrop. No one person got more than 2% of the air I think it was actually 1.5% of the airdrop. And if you look at the pie chart, like the pie chart has so many different colors on it, the pie chart of the distribution, that it crashes my computer. So I'm pretty proud of how wide that distribution was.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the shout out. And no, we're just glad that it worked out well. I mean, I know most people probably won't see the specific kind of, you know, numbers and breakdowns that went into it. But what I have to say is, like, it's definitely the most specific granular airdrop I've ever seen. And we had the pleasure of helping to work on. So kudos there. And Kevin, just going, you know, down the line a bit, like,
do you mind if I just interject one thing, Tom?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Of course.
Gitcoin grants is actually one of the foundational pillars of funding in the Ethereum ecosystem. And we've actually started to see other token airdrops that want to have a wide distribution for their airdrops. And they've been emailing us saying, like, hey, can you tell us how many grant funders contributed to this category and what their addresses are? And then we'll ship that data off to them and they'll include Gitcoin data in their airdrop. So if you're involved, if you're listening and you're involved in a project that's doing an airdrop and you want to reach some of the upper echelon of the Ethereum community, then please reach out to us and we can help you out with that. Anyway, sorry, Tom, go ahead.
No, it's awesome. I mean, it's a huge compliment, right? Like you have I guess what those teams are missing though, is like you have a wide distribution, but you also have a very specific distribution. Like mm-hmm. you're giving more tokens to those who gave more money, who are more active on the platform, who actually like, you know, you're differentiating between those that are here early and those that are here, you know, have been here longer and those that have stayed on. Like you guys, I guess, are using the benefit of having like a very successful and highly engaged community, and you're leveraging all of that data for your airdrop. Whereas I think a lot of new teams, they don't have that data to even run with yet.
Totally. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you know, we're all standing on the shoulders of giants in this space. And if we can, and you know, we're building on top of open source, and a lot of stuff pre-existed when we started. And so if we can pay that forward by helping teams with their airdrops, then I'm just super happy to do that. So reach out if you're in that category and you're looking for help on that, please. Founders@gitcoin.co is our email.
That's awesome. And so Kevin, what does actually governing Gitcoin mean? I know we alluded to a couple of things here, like, you know, what you're going to do with some treasury tokens that you guys got, which is incredible. But like on a day-to-day basis, you know, let's say Gitcoin is fully mature, fully decentralized. Like what are the GTC holders doing on a day-to-day basis?
Totally. That's a good question. I think that we're sort of learning about this future and creating it. And it's much more of an iterative thing than it is something that we really have said at this point. And, you know, Gitcoin operates on a quarterly basis where we run these grants rounds, we try some stuff and we see what works. And then we learn from our failures and we try to get better every grants round. And so in my mind, governance looks a lot like that. And, you know, beyond that, I'll just couch my opinions and say that I am but one member of the DAO, and I may be CEO and founder of Gitcoin Holdings, the company that got this off the ground. But I am just one protocol politician in the DAO over the long term. I think for me, basically what Gitcoin is going to become is going to be a DAO of DAOs. We're basically going to be where builders and funders come together to fund the open web. You'll know that that's the mission that we started with, and it's still the mission today. And so we're just going to be where capital and labor comes together to build new projects that can be combo public-private goods, and then accelerate those projects and then eventually govern those projects. And I can envision a world in which governors are deciding policy about what projects want, what criteria for the rounds should go out. I could see a world in which they're proposing token swaps between the GTC treasury and these other projects. I can see, you know, it basically it's about providing as much value to people who are building ecosystems, and also to people who are building in these ecosystems is what I think the long arc of Gitcoin DAO is going to be. And I got my start 12 years ago getting into startups by people who mentored me. And if we can pay that forward to the next generation of builders, I just think there's no higher calling than that. And so that's the hope.
I love that. And, you know, Kevin, I asked you before, like when projects graduate from Gitcoin, but you know, when do you think you'll graduate from Gitcoin, right? Like you have this GTC launch, you're decentralizing the community. You're obviously like, you know, like you're the, I wouldn't say philosopher, because I know you don't want to run with that, but like you're the guy that's, you know, creating the mind engine here to kind of drive what the focus and mission is here. You know, when is the day when you're not, you know, when you don't have to work at Gitcoin, when the community really takes over? Do you see that as becoming a reality?
Totally. I think that so this mission of building and funding open source software has just opened up a whole world to me of understanding how we can use cryptocurrency to build a better world, to take us to the quadratic lands and to build regenerative finance as opposed to degen finance. And I think that mission is in many ways my life's work, and I will never get away from it unless we solve it in my lifetime, which would be great. But you know, in terms of Gitcoin, I am sort of mindful of, because I'm the OG founder, that my opinion or something that I say could sway the DAO or be seen as meddling by an insider. I mean, it feels weird to think about myself as an insider because I was just like the scrappy kid with like a chip on my shoulder when we started Gitcoin. But I guess like we've worked our way there. But you know, I see myself trying to create as many power vacuums as possible, and also, you know, elevating the people around me so that they can do the jobs that I used to do, and then eventually letting it run on its, like the whole point of being a DAO is that you're anti-fragile and decentralized away from one person. So maybe over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, we'll see that happen, but I don't think I'll ever stop caring about the mission and wanting to work on the mission.
I love that. No, you're extremely passionate, Kevin, and I always love that. And switching gears a little bit, one of the things that's important is obviously the, you know, proliferation of multiple chains, multiple ecosystems. Do you think Gitcoin will expand beyond Ethereum?
So Gitcoin, the centralized site and company, has already done that. If you go to Gitcoin and you post a new bounty, you will see that there's about a dozen different blockchain options in order to post a bounty. Bitcoin, Binance, Harmony, Polkadot, Kusama, Ethereum Classic, Zilliqa, Filecoin, Celo, RSK, Zinfin, Algorand. We also have PayPal in there. You asked about blockchains, but we're open source maximalists, not any specific chain maximalists. Although we are very thankful to the Ethereum ecosystem for giving us our start.
Makes sense. And one of the other questions I had is like, I guess just, it's kind of a vague question, but I guess projects and communities, like whether it be a layer one or whether it be an app or you know, an NFT project, what have you, I think a lot of them eventually want to like go the full DAO route, right? Like hiring the talent they need in kind of a decentralized, trustless way. Like how would a project of the future like leverage Gitcoin in an automated way so that it can handle all of their hiring, all of their funding, and everything happens on Gitcoin like forever? Am I thinking about that the right way, or you know, is that still going to be like a manual process?
You know, maybe I'm old school, but I don't think about trustlessness when it comes to hiring people. I think, can I trust this person? And like, do I want to get a beer with them at the end of the day?
yeah,
but you know, for us, like right now, it's just about like having as many builders as possible join our community and routing them to projects that they're going to love and that are going to love them back. When you're hiring an engineer, there's a non-fungibility aspect to it. You want to hire the right engineer for your project, not just any old engineer. And so it's really about building, like, if you think about it in a finance perspective, like getting that liquidity and building an order routing mechanism that can put people to projects that they're a fit with is kind of like what I think is like the data science problem that we're working on here. But, you know, I'd say, you know, if you're listening to us and you're trying to build a company or a DAO, then the best thing that like the easiest way that we can help out with that is just running a virtual hackathon on Gitcoin. They run for about 2 weeks and we can channel anywhere between 100 to 500 builders, depending on the theme of the hackathon to you. And it's just really nice to like, I'm a big fan of when you're first meeting hackers, just like talking to a lot of them, putting your API in front of them, trying to pitch them and just like kind of taking a little bit more of a shotgun approach where you're engaging with tens or hundreds of builders at a time and just seeing what sticks. That's how I got Gitcoin off the ground. And that's kind of what we offer as a service to these ecosystems. So reach out to founders@gitcoin.co if you're interested in running a virtual hackathon with us.
That's awesome. And I guess, you know, you kind of mentioned that, you know, these people that are on Gitcoin can work for multiple different ecosystems. Are there any concerns that come into play? And like, is there any way to police that? Like, you know, let's say I'm a dev tasked with building like something out for Uniswap. Like, does this all happen publicly in the wild? Because, you know, I wouldn't want like, say, a SushiSwap team to go and hire that same person probably.
Totally. Yeah. I think that, you know, I think a lot about positive sum games in this ecosystem. And I think that one of the amazing things about like, it's just the pie is growing so fast that it makes more sense to try to capture the pie as it grows for a lot of these teams than it does to like play these zero sum games against each other. And maybe Uniswap and SushiSwap are two projects that are in a mature enough part of the space where they have to worry about it. But I haven't seen a lot of that so far. I think everyone's just trying to figure out how to provide as much value as possible to their ecosystems. And that's what we want to facilitate.
Makes sense. And I guess one of my last questions for you, Kevin, is like, what is the biggest issues that still exist with Gitcoin? You know, is it operational? Is it technical? Like, what are the biggest hurdles you're attempting to solve over the next, you know, 12 to 24 months? And I would also, you know, love to hear, you know, your opinions on what the biggest hurdles are to getting people to take part, to donate, to fund grants, et cetera, because, you know, you've clearly done a ton of work, but I'm just wondering what keeps you up at night.
Totally. So our highest calling is to fund public goods, to build and fund the open web. In order to do that, we're building a funnel, a DAO of DAOs that creates public goods funding experiments, retires the ones that don't work, and then accelerates the ones that do work. And then we are basically the ones that are accelerating, helping them decentralize. And so taking a look at answering your question with that funnel in mind, we have hackathons and grants in Kernel, which are mature products that are funding open source in the ecosystem. And we're looking to decentralize those so that they can be operated not by any one company, but be operated by the DAO. So that's task number one. And there's a governance decentralization in that. And then there's also a technical decentralization aspect of that. Like right now, we're centralized AF. Like, you got me, I plead guilty, we're centralized. And so rewriting that to be decentralized is a high order bit for me. And then it's about accelerating as many builders as possible into their own career arcs. And whether that's funding digital infrastructure or starting startups or just generally quitting their corporate jobs or their local jobs and working for the open internet is what we want to help as many people as possible do. And there's a network effect to the Gitcoin, network, where the more funders join Gitcoin, the better it is for builders. And the more builders join Gitcoin, the better it is for funders. And it's just about building that flywheel and making it accelerate. And I mean, over the long arc, I'd love to like slay LinkedIn or something like that. I just think like a decentralized user governed platform that has your reputation data can route you to talent. Holy shit, that would be so cool. And so on the long arc, that's how I see things going, but we'll see what the DAO decides as a priority. I forgot your second question. I know you asked me two questions, but I forget what the second one was.
No, I frankly, me too. That your answer was incredible. And I mean, just building off that, is there anything that a centralized company like LinkedIn could do to thwart your growth and success?
That's a good question. If there is, then we should probably figure it out and build something preventative to it. I mean, I don't know. I think that LinkedIn, the major problem I have with LinkedIn is that you sign up and you give them your reputation data, and then they just sell it to recruiters, and they've built a multi-billion dollar business off of just selling people's data and giving them no cut of it. And so I believe that a more just version of LinkedIn would basically just be a crypto economic protocol where you can upload your resume data and your contact information, and the protocol could issue unlock keys where people can contact you if they pay a price that you specify. And 80% of that money could go to the person that's being contacted, and 20% could go back to the protocol or something like that. And so that's like the whole problem with Web2 companies is that they work really hard to attract users, and then they hit their network effects where their success is inevitable, and then they start extracting from them. And the cool thing about the Ethereum space is that you could build a crypto economic protocol that works to attract people to the protocol. And then because it's immutable and transparent, the rules can't be changed on you. And so you go from attract, extract to attract, enable. And I think that can enable more growth over the long term. And that's sort of the theory of what we're trying to do with Gitcoin. And I don't know how LinkedIn stops that. They already have a pretty big head start with their network effect of having more data than us. So it's just about catching up to that so that we can compete toe to toe with them, I think.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I don't really see much that they can do. I mean, my last question, because I want to ask while I have you, is like, how do you, I guess, educate people on the differences, right? Like, I guess if everyday people go on LinkedIn, like, they're okay with the trade-off, right? They trade their data, they potentially get a curated job that they want. Hopefully, you know, it's not just like ultra-targeted, but like, how do you get people to kind of think along the way that you're thinking about it versus just logging on, sharing data and getting a job?
Totally. I was actually talking a little bit about this with Nathan Schneider, who is a professor of media studies at CU. And we were at happy hour last night, and we're just like jamming on like, you know, how does like a decentralized Uber actually beat Uber? And we were talking about this case study in Texas where Uber was removed because of some regulatory concern. And then basically a local co-op version of Uber sprang up in its place. But like the whole problem was that out of town drivers would come in and they wouldn't have the local co-op's app on their phone or something like that. So there's a network effect to these businesses. And I think that recognizing that network effect is like the moat of these Web2 companies is really paramount, because there's only like 5% of the population that cares about like web scale co-ops and DAOs and stuff like that. You just got to deliver a better product, Tom, I think is the answer. And, you know, the idealist in me would like to think that like we can make an appeal to morality or to like reason that it would be much better if we did it a different way. But I honestly think that the answer is that people come to to Uber because they have a job to be done. They want to get from A to B. People come to LinkedIn because they have a job to be done. They want to get hired or they want to hire someone. And you just got to build a better mousetrap. And, you know, I think we're going to get the reason why crypto is like right now, the tools are harder to use than Web2, but Web2 has a 15-year head start. So imagine in 15 years, Tom, in which we have all these composable tools, the internet of money, that are all being assembled in unstoppable blockchain networks that actually have network effects in them. And I think it's inevitable because of the compounding exponential growth of the blockchain space that, you know, you have a million monkeys writing Shakespeare, you have a million developers that are building composable code in the blockchain space. Eventually someone's going to find a configuration that disrupts Uber and is going to disrupt LinkedIn, but they're going to do it by building a better mousetrap. And the reason I'm sure of that is because of the exponential growth and the talent that's pouring into the space right now. Won't be within the next 2 years, but within the next 10 years, I predict someone will disrupt LinkedIn with unstoppable code and blockchain networks.
No, I'm totally with you. And I mean, I agree with like the foundation of your thesis, like that a decentralized version should win, people should control their data, the whole nine yards. The funny thing is, even if LinkedIn wanted to, I just don't think like you're a centralized company with a ton of bureaucracy. And the other thing is, I don't think they're built to do what you guys do on a data level, right? Like they're built to like steal your data, give you a long-term job. They're not built to like, you know, track small jobs, give you the next little gig. Like they're not, it's not like a fast, agile workplace, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. So here's the analogy I would use. How come Kodak didn't build Instagram, Tom? Their culture and their norms and their bureaucracy is just so rooted in the old world. And like, it's the same thing with LinkedIn versus Gitcoin.
No, you're totally right. It's a good way to close out. Kevin, I love talking to you because you're able to go so quick with answers and yet so deep. It takes me a little while to catch up, but I appreciate it. Kevin, tell people where they can learn more about GTC, learn more about Gitcoin, go donate to a grant and follow you.
Yeah, totally. So if you Google Gitcoin, I think we've finally reached the level of legitimacy where Google doesn't autocorrect it to Bitcoin. So we're winning there. And yeah, so if you Google Gitcoin, you will find Gitcoin.co, which is the site. Token claims are live for the next 28 days. And so if you've used Gitcoin in the past, please go claim your GTC and govern Gitcoin at gov.gitcoin.co. And the message that I would love to leave with you is that if you're building a crypto ecosystem, if you're building a dev team, then hit us up. We love nothing more than helping developers find the next protocol that they're going to love building. So if you need developers or if you're a developer that wants to get coins, come check us out. And thank you to Tom and Delphi so much for helping us build the economics of Gitcoin DAO. I'm a computer scientist and I'm only LARPing as an economist. And so thank you for doing the heavy lifting there.
Yeah, no, we're happy to help, you know, with FireEyes and shout out to Ashwath on our side. I just helped him out on the side a little bit, but really appreciate that, Kevin. I'll link to everything in the show notes and, you know, just shout out to you, man. You're extremely passionate, altruistic founder. You don't find him too often in crypto. So love that and best of luck. We'll stay in touch.
All right, Tom. Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.